Certainly that's our prayer today, that the Word of God would speak to our hearts and our lives. Things that we do. I think you finally got it. If you got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. As we share this morning, I wanted to share with you upon the subject of the idea, how bright does your light shine? How bright does your light shine? And I hope by the time we, get to the end of the message this morning, we can tack on to the end of that, how bright will your light shine in 2026 as the Lord lays upon our hearts and our lives and the things that He would have us to do concerning what God is doing in our lives. Many times, I think we have to stop and ask ourselves the question, what if my light is not shining the brightest that it can shine as a child of God? What's hindering that? He gives us two examples here before He leads us into the writings of the light of the world. And the first thing, I think, answers a question for many of us as to why we don't let our light shine like we ought to. The things that the Lord has for us. Verse 10 says here, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We have a complex against persecution, if we would be honest with ourselves. Opportunity presents itself for us to share with individuals what the Lord may lay upon our heart. We may be gassing our vehicle up at the service station, and the Lord said, "Speak to your neighbor over there. Put in a word for me with the person that takes up the money in the store or whatever." Oh, I don't know them. I can't, you know. We're afraid. We're afraid that they'll tell us something to go on, leave us alone. And that'll happen to us in our, I remember, I believe it was 93 when I went to Helena, Montana on a mission trip with a group from Shady Grove. And I got the door slammed in my face many times whenever the door would open and we'd introduce ourselves and tell them who we were and what we were there for and try to give them some literature or stuff, invite them to church or whatever, and they'd slam that door in our face. Didn't want anything to do with it. And we went into store and we were getting drinks and stuff, and you can imagine, you know, about 15 or 18 of teenagers running around in that store and stuff. That fellow said, hold it, wait a minute. Said, "I got to know something." Said, "Where are y'all from?" We said, "We're from Mississippi." He said, "I thought so." And he said, "What part of Mississippi are you from?" I said, "Well, Hattiesburg is above us and Mobile is below us." And he went into a cussing fit. He said, "Wilmer, Alabama." So I went through there and got a ticket to him 1 mile over the speed limit in Wilmer, Alabama. He had a bad taste in his mouth for our neck of the woods, folks, you know. And he took out his persecutions on us, you know, for what he had to do way back in those days. Thanks goodness they relieved that speed trap down through there, and you can get through there a little faster now. But what the Lord was telling His disciples was that blessed are they which are persecuted. If you get a door slammed in your face, if you get somebody to make some remark about your service to God, He said, you're blessed. Why? He said, for righteousness' sake. I've taught you many, many years, what is righteousness? That which is morally proper in the sight of God. Absolutely. So he said, if you get persecuted for that which is morally proper in the sight of God, yours is the kingdom of heaven. We have to look beyond the here and now as to what we are preparing for the future. He said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He said here, if you get mistreated, if you get hurt, if you get someone that deals with you falsely, he said, for my name's sake, you will be blessed. And then the third thing he shared here, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, Elijah, Jeremiah, Daniel, that's just a few of the Old Testament prophets. They went through all kinds of persecutions, ran for their lives, had to deal with, just think about Daniel for a minute. He got tossed into the lion's den. That's about as heavily a persecution as anybody could get, but what did the Lord do? He closed the mouth of those lions, didn't he? Allowed them an opportunity and our lives. What happens when we let the persecution that comes from someone else hinder us from doing what God wants us to do in our hearts and our lives? I can tell you three or four things that I got out of this that I want to share with you. Number one, it takes our eyes off our earthly rewards and what God has prepared for those that love him here. We miss many, many blessings. Several times in this writings here, he said, blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We're going to have plenty there when we get there. But we miss many blessings here by not being able to share. I walked out of Brother Arnold. He won't mind me telling you, picking on him a little bit. But I walked out of his hospital room the other morning and started down the hall. And this little lady that was one of his nurses in some capacity or whatever asked me, he said, are you Mr. Eubanks' pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, that's a fine gentleman. Said, instead of me praying for him, he was praying for me. He was witnessing to me. He was testifying to me. And she said, God love him. And I said, you don't know the half of it. You don't know that. What an opportunity, even in a hospital room. Arnold, you shared the gospel with people. You're letting that light shine, like the Lord says. And when we fail to do that, it takes our eyes off our earthly rewards. Not only does it do us, but it strips us of all of our true beliefs. If you believe that God is able, he's not going to call on you to do anything he doesn't equip you in power. Why don't you do it? What hinders us from being that? Another thing it does, it strengthens your faith so that you can keep on keeping on. You know, we can't get so discouraged that we throw up our hands and say, what's the use in our hearts and our lives? Folks, if we're going to reach the goal that God has set for us in 2026, we got to let our lights shine to the ability that God has for us. And the last thing that it does, persecutions will allow us to handle the way we treat others in our hearts and our lives. What kind of example are we in our lives? Then he goes into an illustration that they can understand. Look at verse 13 with me. Ye, you and me, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Salt that loses its flavor has no value. It's good for nothing. You know, a Christian who makes no effort to make a difference in all the people around about us, and we are of little value to God. What did he tell his disciples? When he was ascending back to the Father, he told them to go and do what? Share the gospel to a lost and dying world. What about us and our hearts and our lives? We're faithful. We give our tithes. We give ourselves to a certain extent. We're faithful to be in our worship service and stuff. But what happens when we do that? We hide our light and the things that he would have us to do. Then he gives us these instructions. Ye are the light of the world. You perhaps are going to be the only thing some people will ever know about the Lord. And you got to let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. He said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot hide. They didn't have the communication that you and I have today. They didn't have the transportation that you and I have today. They didn't have the technology that you and I have today in our world that we are a part of and we have accessibility to be able to do a lot of the things. Amazes me, you know, how just like our little demonstration of the home Brother Travis gave us, that drone can fly over and get all the details and stuff of everything that's going on, you know. How that you can be 100 miles away and it'll show you when the dog comes to get his treat at 10 o'clock. All the things that we see and all the things that are going on in our world around about us, our nation, to be able for our military to accomplish what they accomplished this week in Venezuela and going down there and getting that thug and bringing him out of there. And hopefully one day he'll see justice for all the evil that he's done, the hearts and lives of people. Technology, what we're capable of in our lives. But yet what's happening? Instead of Christianity being on the increase, it's on the decrease, declining in our hearts and our lives. What can I do to be a better light of the world? First thing I think of when I ask that question is when we choose to be quiet, when we ought to spoke up. Be quiet when we ought to speak up. Going along with a crowd, nobody wants to be a standalone. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be part of. But when we compromise our values to go along and get along, what's that saying to God? When we let those sins come into our hearts and our lives, it dims the light down of our witness, our testimony to those round about us. What should we do? We should explain our light to others. Let them see what God is doing in our hearts and our lives. And ignoring the needs of other folks. That's one thing I can say your light shines bright for at Bexley. when there's a need in the heart and life of individual. Y'all rally around those needs and help those individuals in their hearts and their lives. Don't shut your light off from the rest of the world. Do what the scripture says here. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You don't know just who might find need for the light that you share in your heart and your life. The things that's happening, don't let it be. He said, who would light a candle, put it under a bushel, but instead put it on a candlestick, and it'll give light unto all those that are in the house. I have the opportunity to see that. Then finally, he comes down in verse 16 and tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Do what? Let your light so shine. Kind of contradicts where we started, when we started in verse 10, and it said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the Lord's work. And he said, theirs is the kingdom of God. He said, but for us to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. How bright does the light shine in your life? Can other people see what you profess as the Savior in your heart and your life? When I was a teenager growing up in Shady Grove, there was a man that lived on a dirt road. All the roads back in them days were dirt roads. And there come a call to go down to the home of county home. Now, there were people that didn't have any family or anything. The county took care of them back in those days at that old home. Brother Smith got a call to go down that one of the people there, Shady Grove, saw to their needs a lot and ministered to them in many different ways. And Brother Smith was in a hurry. He got in his truck and he took off from Shady Grove and he went down the dirt roads. And when he went around and he went around a curve, and there was a man standing at the mailbox getting his mail out of the mailbox. And Brother Smith said the Lord spoke to him and said, stop. Speak to Bernice. Tell him you miss him. But Lord, I got a death call. I got to get down here. He said, stop. He said he stomped the brakes on his old truck, and the old front wheel grabbed and slid him off over in the ditch. You know how them old trucks would do when we had them back in them days and stuff. Said he got out, and he walked back there to the mailbox, and he said, Bernice, I love you, brother, and I miss you. Why don't you come on back to church? Nothing has happened that God can't take care of. He said about 9:30 the next morning, he looked out. There come Bernice in his old truck down there and pulled in. And from that day forward to the day Bernice died, you know what he did? He stood at that front door. About 30 minutes before anybody else got there, he was always on his place. And he'd open that door and tell them, good morning. God loves you. Glad to see you this morning. What was more important, the death call or the answer of what the Lord told him to do? You know the answer to that. When God speaks, Word of God speaks, we just hope to. What are we to do? Answer. What kind of light are you going to be? You're going to be a light that sits on the hill that all around will be able to see Jesus through you? Are you going to be a light that's hid under a bushel that nobody can see? What's most important in our hearts and our lives? I don't know what your plans, your aspirations are for 2026, but I hope that we as a church family have one thing in our minds, and that is to let our light so shine that it'll be so bright that whoever needs to stand under the umbrella of that light will be able to see Jesus because of the things that we did for God. You've been very faithful in 2025, and I know you will in 2026. But let's go above and beyond that. You know, let's be a light that the world can see Jesus in. Got plans to go to Peru, got plans to do this, plan to do that. But what about right here? Are we meeting that need in our hearts? Let's pray together. Brother Ernie's going to come in a moment. He'll lead us in an invitation. I wonder, what category is your light? Could the reason be that your light is hid under a bushel is because you're afraid of you might get persecuted? Somebody may slam a door in your face. Somebody may say to you in your heart, in your life, something ugly, call you a name, or religious fanatic, or what? I tell you, I'll take the blessings of God before I take the persecution of man any day. Amen. God said he would bless you. He'd bless me. God's stirring your heart. It's not too late to make a resolution. Most of the time we make them just to break them. But I would hope that you'd purpose in your heart this morning to be resolution, to make this resolution. I'm going to let my little light shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine for the glory of God. Father, you know our needs. Search our hearts. Show us what you'd have us to do, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. God, speak in your heart. I surrender all. These altars are open. You want to come kneel and pray? I'm here. I'll be glad to pray with you about any need. Let God speak to your heart.